We're going to read from John's Gospel, John chapter 8, verses 12 to 18. Remember, we're looking at the I Ams of Jesus that are found in John. And we're looking at this one, I am the light, starting at verse 12 then, John chapter 8. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me.
Well, good evening, Cornerstone. It's very very nice to be able to be here. I can't see you, but you can see me. In many ways, this is one of the strangest experiences ever, because I'm probably preaching to more people than I ever have before, and yet there's only two people in the room with me. So it's a very odd experience, and yet a really joyful one as well. So last week, if you remember, Tom was taking us through the first I am statement from Jesus about who he is. You've got the seven I ams in the Gospel of John. And we heard, I am the bread of life. And Tom helpfully took us back through Exodus to reveal the depths of meaning in that loaded statement. And we saw the feast that Jesus is for his people, even more so in troubling times such as the ones we find ourselves in. Just like Israel found themselves in when they were lost in the wilderness and they received the bread from heaven to sustain them, we receive Jesus, the bread of life, to sustain us. And this week we're moving on to the second I am in John. And we find it in John chapter 8, verse 12, which says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, again, just like last week, those words are steeped in biblical literature. They actually form a foundational concept that runs through the entire Bible, really. And to understand a statement like that, we've got to go right back to the very beginning of the Bible, to the very first recorded thing that God says ever in Bible literature. And that's the first point that we're going to look at, really, is in the beginning. So last week, Tom took us back to Exodus. This week, we're going all the way back to the very beginning of Genesis. If you flick back to Genesis 1 and verse 3, it says this, And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Now, the theme of light versus darkness is one that clearly made a big impression on John, because it comes out in all of his writings throughout the whole of the New Testament, in his gospel, in his letters, in Revelation. And actually, my favourite bit of scripture of all time, it's the one I love reading this out loud, is right at the beginning of John's gospel. So if you flick forward with me now to the beginning of John's gospel, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So you see this concept of light and darkness all over the place. And John really picking up on that theme. You can see the impression. And you see what this is all saying. You have God speaking his first recorded words, right at the very beginning of all things. And his first word into this world is, let there be light. Now, according to John, the Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then you have Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. You put all these things together. I am the light of the world. God's word, his first word is light. You may as well have God saying right at the very beginning of all things, let there be my son. Let there be my son is his first message to the world. Let there be light. And through this light, all things are created. Through my word, all things are created. Through my son, all things are created. The light of the world, the light of all mankind. Now, I don't know what your view of Jesus is, but perhaps you need to reassess and expand your thinking on it. Because in this statement, Jesus is presenting himself as one who has been here right from the very beginning of all things, and as one through whom everything was made, as John says. I was made, you were made, the world was made, the mountains, the sea, the stars in the sky, the universe, everything in all its complexity, the whole of human history, everything that's ever been has only managed to come into creation through Jesus. That's an astonishing statement to make about yourself. That's a mind-blowing statement. That's a statement that expands who this man is. Oh, a million and one times over, a billion times over. So that's what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the light of the world. And that's the first thing we see. But the second thing we see is, don't walk in the dark. Don't walk in the darkness. Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. As we already read from John, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, it may come as a surprise to some of you, but I'm a pretty big J.R. Tolkien geek. And I'm not talking just about Lord of the Rings, but the really good stuff like the Silmarillion and Unfinished Tales and that sort of stuff, the history and the folklore that surrounds everything. And like John, clearly the imagery of light and dark had a massive impact on Tolkien's writings. In the Silmarillion, which is the story of the early ages and the creation of the world of Middle-earth, the way in which light is used to create everything and sustain everything, and there's these two trees and the light of the world is all wrapped up in these two trees. And again, it's all biblical imagery if you know anything about Genesis and Revelation. But the evil spirits, they hate the light. They hate it with a passion. And there's one called Ungoliant. It's a brilliant name. Ungoliant. And she takes the form of this giant, grotesque spider. She's the mother of Shelob, if you know the Lord of the Rings story. And she walks in darkness. And she inhabits all the dark places of the world. And wherever she goes, she sucks the light out of the world and becomes fatter and more grotesque. And she destroys the two trees. She sucks the light out of the two trees. And darkness begins to overcome everything. There's death and decay in the world. There's things that stop growing and become stunted or soured and bitter. And what happens in Genesis? Well, the world's created good. There's light in the world. It's created through the light of the world. God says, let there be light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Everything's created through light. And Adam and Eve used to walk with God in the cool of the day, in the light, naked and unashamed, completely exposed to God, and yet having no fear. But they're seduced by the evil one to take from a tree, which they're told not to by God. In other words, they turn from trusting in the word of God, who gives life and light to everything, and they turn And when you turn from light and life, you're left with darkness and death. It's called sin. To walk in darkness. To walk in darkness, to walk in sin, essentially means to turn from God and to be the God of your own life, making your own decisions, trusting in your own abilities, placing your faith and security in all these idols around you. That's what it is to walk in darkness. And doesn't that just describe our world, our culture? Doesn't it describe you? It definitely describes me. I'm actually like a little ungoliant, walking around in darkness, so often sucking the light out of the world with my sinful ways, instead of walking in the light of a God, naked and unashamed, with no fear in his presence. Because I have darkness inside of me. And there's darkness in this broken world as well, isn't there? This coronavirus feels like some kind of giant ungoliant sucking the light out of everything at the minute. Spreading fear and anxiety, you can see that so easily. Separating and isolating us from each other. Causing massive pain as loved ones are torn away from us. Elliot, our hearts are with you, brother. And we're exposed, aren't we? The idols of money and jobs are suddenly shown up to be flaky and one-dimensional and fickle gods. And we wonder how on earth could we ever have put so much trust in them in the first place and ignore the God who provided all of these things for us. It can be very easy in times like these to feel like the darkness is overcoming everything. But for one final thing that we're going to look at, follow the light. Follow the light. Again, John says this, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, like a beacon, shines brightly in the darkness. And isn't it true that the darker it gets, the brighter he shines? The more attractive he becomes? As the world gets harder, God just seems so much more appealing. That's, I think, what we're supposed to be feeling at the minute. In this situation, we're supposed to be on our knees turning to God and saying, God, bring us back into a place of trust and light and exposure with you. Let us trust in you, not in these things that are around us. It's a bit like Cornerstone. The longer we're apart, the more we want to be back together, and the more joyful that day's going to be. The darker it gets, the better the light seems. And the best news of all here is that we never have to walk in darkness. We never have to walk in darkness if we are following Jesus. Did you see what he said there in John chapter 8? Why? Because he is the light of life. And all who follow him have the light of life. Did you see that? He can deal with the darkness in this world. He can deal with the darkness in your life. He can deal with the darkness in you. Because no darkness can stand up to his light. Because he is light and life, when he came into this world and was nailed to a cross and went down into darkness, into the darkest place, into a place of darkness and death, what happened? It couldn't contain him. Death could not contain him. The darkest darkness cannot contain the light of life. He defeats death and darkness and blazes a path to eternal glory and eternal life for all who will follow his light. So take heart, brothers and sisters. You can't do this yourself. You are dark. Darkness cannot generate its own light. It's impossible for darkness to generate its own light. But Jesus's light can obliterate your darkness. And you can follow his light back into the garden, back into the creation, back into, well, forwards actually, into the new creation, into a life of eternal glory, eternal joy, with no suffering, with no coronavirus, with no darkness, forever. I have no idea who I'm speaking to here. Literally no idea who I'm speaking to. I don't know who's listening to this. I don't know if I even know you. But let me ask you this right now. If you don't know this Jesus as the light of the world, as the life-giving light, why would you not turn to him right now, this very moment? And brothers and sisters at Cornerstone, take heart, because you will never walk in darkness if you're following his light. No matter how dark the valley of the shadow of death may appear, you tread that path following his blazing light, and he will see you through to be with him in eternity. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you that through him you create everything. We thank you that because we can see this, because we hear that he is the light of the world, the light of all mankind, the light through which everything is created. He holds this world in the palm of his hand. And so something like coronavirus or any situation on earth, the thought that that could derail your plans is laughable. And as your children, as people who are following your light, following your son, we can have such hope and assurity in this situation. Father, please help us to keep following that word, following that light. Please help us to find our comfort in you in hard times. Help us to support our brothers and sisters as they feel like darkness is encroaching. Help us to be there for one another. And Father, we pray for the day when we can be back with each other together again. So we do pray for all these things, and we thank you again for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.